Good morning. Is anyone here?
Good morning, Nancy. This is Elaine.
Eddie has arrived.
It's so good to hear you on the calls again.
It's good to be on again.
How's your husband doing?
He's doing very well, thank you.
Good. Somebody else came on?
Good morning, Nancy. It's Betty.
Good morning, Betty. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm hanging in.
Okay, that's good.
It is good.
Has arrived.
Second me.
I'm sorry?
Are you planning to have surgery on your second knee soon?
2 weeks today.
Really?
Who's counting?
Uh-huh.
Boy. Has arrived.
So much fun the first time, I figured I might as well try it again, right?
Right.
A couple of other people have come on. Want to say hello?
Good morning, all. This is Steve.
Frank, how are you?
Doing great.
Good. Anyone else want to say hi? I'm shaking up my shake as I talk. I had a thought this morning. Anyone try putting vanilla in their shake?
Hey, I'm mute.
Anybody try putting vanilla in?
No, I haven't tried that.
It occurred to me as I was getting mine ready. My niece sent me an email.
Has arrived.
Said she wants to try the vanilla, and I thought, just now, I thought, wow, she wants vanilla. Well, it is vanilla, but I wonder if putting a drop or two of vanilla flavoring might even enhance it more.
Certainly worth trying.
Yeah.
I've been putting in a teaspoon of cinnamon and just a shake of red curry powder in mine, and I love it.
I'm still putting a little bit of pepper and a full heaping teaspoon of turmeric and a heaping teaspoon of cinnamon. So that goes in automatically, but I may put a little bit of vanilla the next day.
So, good morning.
Anybody?
This way, since you're talking about the shake.
Anyone else need to reach Flutter?
I know I have a few people that's on the shake, and they reach down to a certain point, and then they just kind of like stay there, and they're not able to lose any more.
I didn't quite get what you said. Did anybody have the same problem, or is it just me?
Yeah, no, I was saying, you know, with the shake, I had people on it, and then, you know, they lose down to a certain point for after 2 weeks, and then they kind of sit there and platter. They're not losing anymore.
Oh, okay.
So I'm trying to ease the frustration with them, and, you know, trying, okay, you know, what do you do? Write everything down for me and drink more water, and I thought, you know, I want to reach there, and they're not moving any further, so...
Have they changed what they're eating at all, or are they still eating the same as they always have been? And what are they eating? You know, that's what I have found with...
Has arrived.
Journey. And it is a journey. And, of course, exercise is moving the body. I don't want to use the word exercise. Moving the body is important. And, you know, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, and it's been a while since anybody's mentioned, especially for women, strength training, which will build muscle, which burns fat better than anything else. And besides the fact that it will keep you from getting frail.
Right. I know there's one girl who, you know, asked me, you know, want to think, well, you know, I'm running better and I'm doing exercise better. I have more energy. I mean, you know, all the benefits.
Okay.
Ways, you know, notice it's different, of course, and the benefits, and notice that, okay, you know, I'm reaching a fighter, and I mean, you know, they have changed the way of eating, and nothing has changed from the beginning.
Well, that she has built some fat, some muscle, and gotten rid of it. Has she taken her measurements?
Yeah, that's one thing going to do is like, okay, what's your measurement to? So that's the main thing.
And I built some muscle and gotten rid of some fat. The scale,
right.
And that's okay. That's why the scale is just a number. Go by how she feels and go by the idea that you are nourishing your body with something healthy.
Right, right.
Anyone else have any other suggestions? Okay, anybody else want to say hello? Anyone have any questions, thoughts, or concerns? Give me 2 seconds to pour this out in the notebook. As I alluded to yesterday in our newspaper, 2 articles actually hit me really. The one above the one I mentioned yesterday is the caption in even bigger letters than the other one. With Home's open floor plan, is your kitchen a health hazard? And oh, I don't know how many of you live in a more updated style of housing. And if you watch HGTV at all, people are looking for more open floor plans, especially on the first floor or on the floor where the kitchen, family room, dining room, they want it all open without the walls, etc. And they're saying here, our kitchens, like our girths, have grown substantially in terms of size and function. And just a couple of things that I marked here that were I never thought of before. Our families, even back in when we were children growing up, when the family's evening meal was over, the kitchen was declared closed. Its function was complete. But now our kitchen, like our girth, has grown substantially. They become part of our expansive entertainment complexes in our homes. 3 out of 4 new home buyers want their kitchen and family room to be a combined space. With supersized refrigerator stoves that could serve a restaurant and large enough cabinets to store provisions for a small army. Even our dinner plates are bigger than they used to be. There's tempting food within close range of our eyes and nose so we tend to eat more of it. In our new kitchen, it's just too darn easy to get to addictive snacks and calorie-rich drinks. An extra handful or two of easily accessible daily snacks can make the difference between maintaining my weight and adding a few pounds each year. There are, of course, many reasons for the nation's obesity epidemic with its staggering health implications, but surely modern home design plays an important and underappreciated role. Isn't that interesting? The person writing this article is the founder of KidsHealth.org and a pediatrician. It was just, you know, I never really looked at it this way, that we never went to the kitchen after dinner growing up. I wish I could say the same today.
Now we wander through it all day long.
Besides the fact that in the open floor plan, it's always right there. Interesting.
That's very interesting. I never gave that a thought either.
I know. I wonder how many people even read the article. Actually, the title of this article on that one is much larger than the one underneath it. And this was on the back page of our forum section. Food Giants Engineering the Recipe for Obesity. And I don't want to get into the political initial part of it. It did mention Bloomberg's efforts to regulate sugary drinks. And it goes on, the science and research being used by food manufacturers are making it harder to stay non-obese, let alone get thin. If you want to know why 1 in 5 kids and 1 in 3 adults is considered clinically obese, that's 1 in 5 kids and 1 in 3 adults. While 24 million Americans are afflicted with type 2 diabetes and an additional 79 million have prediabetes, it's partly because the food manufacturers have your number. They succeeded in getting you hooked on foods that are readily accessible and inexpensive. So argues, here we go, Pulitzer Prize winner Michael Moss in a new book called Sugar, Salt, Sugar, Fat. How the food giants hooked us. Moss calls those key ingredients the, quote, pillars of processed foods, end of quote, and told me that the, quote, most perfect version, end of quote, of a food in many palates is often a combination of the three. It's not that the food giants are nefarious, it's that they've gotten too good at what they do. The food they're making is hard to resist at a time when too many are increasingly sedentary. Consider, in 2012, Taco Bell sold 375 million Dorito Locos Tacos Nacho. Try saying that fast three times. That averages out to more than 1 million per day. Okay, so we all know fast food is best eaten as a last resort. How many people really do that? That's my comment. But even when you're running through the supermarket after work on the way home to have dinner, you don't stop to appreciate that the product you are thumbing was literally hatched in a lab by a process called, quote, optimization, where food engineers alter a litany of variables and use science and mathematics to come up with the very perfect formulation that will, quote, send people over the moon, according to Moss. Isn't that amazing? I mean, they're manufacturing food in labs. Not only does this processed food taste good, it does, it has a long shelf life and is inexpensively processed, creating 1 trillion, that's with a T as in Thomas, per year in grocery sales in the most revealing in the United States. To Moss, there's an even more revealing figure, 60,000, the number of different products found in large supermarkets. And I've said many times, including when I was talking to Vance over the weekend about this very challenging of keeping your body in a healthy condition. My father, until I was 11, my father owned 2 grocery stores, and you could probably take both of them and put them into the produce section of any regular supermarket today, and that's where they would comfortably fit. So all of the other periphery stuff, and here they say 60,000 different products out there in the rest of the grocery store. It goes on to say, he doesn't call his food invention a food invention. He calls it engineering, and for a great reason. Looking for the, quote, bliss point involved 61 distinct formulas, which were then tasted nearly 4,000 times in 4 cities. That's how Cherry Vanilla Dr. Pepper was born. Food companies really convincingly argue that they have not intended to make America obese or otherwise ill. Right. Moss said, and, quote, they consider nutrition to be part of their agenda, along with convenience and price, and that any one single product can't be blamed for the obesity crisis or diabetes or high blood pressure, etc. But collectively, there's no question that the companies themselves now know and hold themselves accountable for at least part of the obesity crisis, and I think they're at a tipping point here, end of quote. Moss is optimistic that people such as Moskowitz, who know how to invent food and now turn their
has left the conference,
will now turn their attention to making foods healthier. In the meantime, there are steps we can all take besides diet and exercise. First, you need to appreciate the science and research that have been committed toward getting you hooked. Second, act on the empowerment. You still decide what to buy and what to put in your mouth. Third, attempt to navigate the labels, specifically the box titled Nutrition Facts, mindful that a serving size might not match your own habits. 1 Oreo serving size equals 3 cookies. 1 Pringles serving size equals 16 crisps. Fourth, not everything that sounds healthy is. Some yogurts have nearly as much sugar as ice cream, and yet they carry this halo of health. Fruit is something you're seeing splashed across the label increasingly, and when you look at the details, often it's a smidgen of fruit added or fruit concentrate along with a whole lot of sugar. So companies naturally try to market their product with their best foot forward and to play to consumer concerns. And the halo of health from yogurt and fruit are great examples of that. Anybody who took an Aloisio class, you know, when he was going through a number of years ago already, I remember he would list a whole plethora of ingredients and wanted to know if anybody can figure out what the box was supposed to be. And it was strawberry something, and strawberry wasn't even listed on the ingredients label. One final caveat for boomers. Its marketers had initially assumed that as boomers age, their snack consumption would decline. Instead, they figured out in 1980s that we started eating fewer meals and began snacking more. They know us better than we know ourselves, and it's making an already difficult task harder. Interesting article, guys. Comments, thoughts?
Just that was interesting. It's the 80s. We began eating fewer meals and more snacks. Is that what that says?
Yeah, it did. And, you know, how many, since the 80s, what percentage of women started working who were not, or went from part-time to full-time? And I wonder if that has any bearing on it.
Mm-hmm. That's the most beautiful summation of the most disgusting thing I've ever heard, Nancy.
Actually, this is the writer is from the Philadelphia Inquirer, McClatchy Tribune, and I guess you can get it at www.sismsamemasandmaryerconish.com. His name is Michael Smirkonish.
Okay, SMERCONISH.
.com, yep.
Okay, all right. I just wasn't going to say anything today because my voice is crazy because I did too much horizontal yesterday time. And I feel like it this morning. So anyway, you know, I can say yes to some of those things like bigger refrigeration, bigger appliances, but mine's to act like a cellar would have in the days that my ancestors were growing up, that you put the produce in there and, you know, from the garden you pack it in and it lasts longer, like a box of apples from our orchard or maybe even two boxes, you know, that type of thing that you can keep refrigerated that I know don't have the chemicals on them. So my reason for doing some of those things is totally the opposite of what they're talking about. And yes, our space, our kitchen has always been an open area because that's where everybody in the family is. And, you know, I'm going in and out doing different things during the day, of course, but not to be snacking. And the only other thing I want to mention that was just really disgusting to me the other night, this thing came on and they were outing another diet plan, and as I listened to them, I said, you guys have got to be absolutely insane. It was what everybody wanted to hear. Don't change the way you're eating. Don't do anything to the way you're eating. We can prove that we've had all this weight loss with all these people that kept giving their testimony. Yes, you can have the cookies. You can have the snacks. In fact, we want you to eat continually throughout the day, and I'm going, oh, this is the most disgusting thing I've ever heard. You can have the cookies. You can have the cake. You can have the ice. I mean, they kept throwing that in front of everybody. We just need to eat just a little bit less. Mm. Just a little bit less. Just eat the same food. And it doesn't matter if it's convenience food.
And I want to say, anyway, how is that working for everybody? Because,
well, supposedly it was working great for these people. You know, they had all these people that had lost weight. Well, you know, I'll go back to the same thing. You can do nothing but eat tomato soup and lose weight. Losing weight doesn't mean it has anything to do with your health whatsoever. And, yes, you can violate and not put good food in and just put crap food in all day, and you're just going to go downhill completely, but you'll be thinner. I mean, these people starve each other. Why not just become bulimic and just vomit it all up after you eat it? That's just a quick fit, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was so livid, I went over and I shut the thing off, and I thought, this is it. I am not going to hear anymore. I'm so mad.
Well, everybody has a scheme, you know that.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, to try, and it was only $119.95 to get started. You didn't have to buy any of your food already prepackaged because you could just prepackage it all yourself, and you could start out with prepackaged from the store. You know, it's really going to be cheap.
What were you getting for $120?
Oh, the instructions on how to go about doing this stupid thing.
Huh? Sounds like you just cut your calories, sort of. I don't know.
Well, yeah, you know, you got to cut down on your size. You got to do something. But, you know, I violated that. I mean, I went right along with that for years. I mean, eat the too much sugar and not enough of the other stuff. And, you know, look what it did to my bones. Look what it did to, you know, whatever else. People always say, well, you don't need to lose weight. No, but I wasn't eating healthy.
Well,
you know,
I remember years ago, I was at my doctor's with my cardio stripes on. That's how long ago it was that they were. It was soon after they came in. And we had a very quick discussion about eating. And I remember very clearly saying to him, do you mean to tell me that if a calorie is a calorie and I can eat my calories as Snickers? He got so red. And he kind of walked out the room.
Well, our son, our oldest son, Spencer, signed up for a nutrition class at community college when he started community college before he went away down to Dallas. And he said, Mom, I can't take this. He says, these guys, this professor is just, he is so bad, it's pathetic. You don't even want me in that class. I said, just stick with it. It'll get better. I mean, you know, a guy up front's got to have some knowledge. And he came home one day and he says, that did it. He said, a calorie is a calorie. I can drink beer all day, and it's not going to bother me. It's still just a calorie. Doesn't matter what I put in there. He's not, I'm not going to sit and listen to him.
Yeah.
He is just absolute idiot. And I said, I guess you're right. You might as well drop it. And he did. He went about three times, and that was it, because he said nothing that he's saying is what you've told us from the time we started growing up. And, you know, from the time I started baking bread and taking supplements, my diet changed incredibly to have some kind of an awareness. Some kind of an awareness. Not where it is now. But the other thing, the variety that I have is the variety of grains and vegetables that I use. I do have a lot more built into our diet than I ever did before. And I have the availability to keep some of them on hand and be able to utilize them when I want them. And so, you know, that part of it kind of corresponds with the numbers of things, but not in the categories you're talking about. So there's a way of talking about two different things that totally mean opposite, and I violated them at the beginning and did the, you know, the wrong things and then moved to the other direction. But anyway, I sat here just cringing as you're reading that, and I thought, this is the best together article I've ever heard, with the way the word he just put in. It's incredible.
He did a great job on it, and the only thing he intimated, didn't come out and say the addictiveness of what we're doing either, of what they're doing to us. You know, and Oz has said more than once that the sugar is as addictive, hits the brain in a way that is as addictive as heroin or cocaine. So,
I don't doubt that for one second when you watch people. I mean, I even watch them at church. They have a coffee, tea, and cookies arrangement. And how many times the same person will walk past the cookies if we're setting out in the back end of the church. I can see them walk by the cookie, reach down, pick up another one, and have an excuse to walk by. I mean, it's the same people time after time.
Years ago, I mean, really, there used to be a commercial. Who can eat just one, was it a Lay's potato chip?
Yeah, something like that.
Had it.
What?
Without realizing what they were really saying. They were way ahead of us on that one. Anyone have any more comments on this? I have another, this is one other thing I want to bring up quickly, but anyone else want to comment on the article? Anybody watch Oz yesterday?
I missed it.
We talked about it briefly. Someone asked about putting, you know, no-calorie sweetener, although aspartame was listed as one of them, but there were others brought up also. And it is clearly what they are saying. It will not be in regular milk. It is with the already sweetened milk products, like the chocolate milks that are out there and that kind of stuff. It already has sugar in it. And so at the end of the
half, already go for?
Pardon me?
What the kids already go for.
Absolutely. And so my, you know, their point was that by lowering the calories, yes, maybe they'll drink more, and of course that's better for their pocketbook, but hopefully it will help with the obesity problem. And as clearly said, we have been using no-cal sweeteners for how many years, and the obesity problem has gotten how much bigger? So that ain't working. And but my point, yeah, at the end of, it was a good half hour that he gave them with four different people on about it. And at the end of the half hour, I thought, what difference does it make? They're eating the sugar anyway. So what difference does it make? The one thing that didn't come up was the effect of aspartame on the brain, which I was disappointed in. But other than that, they're drinking it anyway. What difference does it make? They're getting the sugar or the aspartame or whatever it is. They shouldn't be, they're going to be drinking milk. Give them plain milk. Why do they have that chocolate milk? That's just bizarre to me. My kids never got that. I was a mean mother. So I don't know. I'm sure other people think I'm crazy. Comments? They also mentioned yogurt where they would be putting, substituting some of the sugar for, with low-cal, no-cal sweeteners. They mentioned sour cream, and they thought, why would they put sugar in there in the first place? But they assured him that it was not regular milk.
And I watched that too, Nancy. And,
okay.
It was just, to me, the whole thing.
There was a woman from the audience, I believe, who, you know, wanted regular, I guess, the sugar, and he said to her, well, why do you think that they should not put these no-cal sweeteners in? And she said, because they are chemicals, which was very interesting for her to immediately say that.
Well, it's the same thing. They did a really good plug on the coloring, so that you've got all the food colorings in Europe, and they get them from the food.
Yep.
Instead of the chemicals. And
right,
probably cost a little bit more to do the processing than just have the chemicals. And I made a salad over the weekend where you had to squeeze out the color of some of the items in there or else it would all blend together. And I did it on paper towels, rolled the beets up, for example. That was the worst one. And then scattered the other vegetables in with it. And I said, gee, I just made tie-dyed napkins. And I thought, I'm going to use that on the kids. They'll think that's a real hoot, you know. It stretched them out to dry. I mean, there was nothing on them but the vegetable juices. And the thought just came back to me, how effective can this be? I mean, how much does it take? It's just waste product. And anyway, like the peelings and stuff, they could easily make it into the colorings that we want to use in our foods. That's what Europe has done for years. But no, we've got to go the chemical route.
Oh.
And I go,
we are
anyway.
So hooked into chemicals in this country that think that it's healthy for the body. When you think about it, it's like, whoa, what? How did we get here?
Yeah.
Slowly but surely.
Yeah.
Well, and I was kind of distressed over that Keith Aesop, I think his name was, that was a pediatric nutritionist in the midst of this, that was pretty much going along with everything, this labeling change. And I'm like, oh, my God, where are you coming from?
Mm-hmm.
This is our kids we're talking about, and you're saying this is perfectly fine? Just very disturbing.
No common sense.
Right.
Oh, you wonder who's saying him.
Indeed. Indeed.
What the paycheck is on the other end.
I don't know. I still don't understand. I mean, they mentioned that children are deficient in calcium. And,
look at their source.
How did we get to the idea that our children grew up on milk, obviously, because children did in those days. But I don't ever remember buying anything but plain white milk.
Well, yes, and I also can't get over the fact that nobody thinks you can get calcium anywhere but from milk.
Right. That was another thing.
And the milk was not the milk we've got today. And if you talk to a dairyman that's from any time back, there was a huge difference in, I mean, we have one in our group over in Utah, and he is absolutely livid about the, the change in the milk that we've got, that we can absorb nothing of value out of it, period. And that's why they can keep on, telling us that, milk is the one that delivers the calcium. Well, milk is the one that destroys the calcium because of all the chemicals in it.
But when did it become okay that children have the first thing in the morning a sugary drink?
Yes.
Before they go to school. When did that become okay? Chocolate milk. Anyway. Anyone have any closing thoughts?
Just disgust for what we've been sucked into.
I know. It's, maybe enough people will scream that they will start. Although, we scream with our dollars that we spend at the grocery store, and that's such a louder scream than our voices, though.
Yeah.
Until people start making better choices with their money, and we vote 3 times a day, Oz says.
When I switched from the cereals, I was doing something like $2 and some cents a box would feed the kids at the counter cereal because they could eat so much of it because it was puffed up. And it cost me somewhere between a nickel and 15 cents depending on what I put in the pot and cooked. And I thought, this is a no-brainer. I mean, how many times over? And my kids would come home and they'd say, Mom, is it okay if we take our cereal to somebody else's house? I can't get full. And my breakfast doesn't hold me until lunch. And I'm starved before we get to lunch. I mean, literally, that's what they begged me to do. And I just, well, it's kind of an insult to have to take your own cereal with you because you can't eat what they've got now because they got so accustomed to doing it. And they said, well, it was like Vance getting caught for accused of taking drugs or using something at school because he had more energy after lunch was over with, and he got called into the office to the counselor, and she says, your friends are concerned that you're taking something because you're so high after lunch. And he says, I don't eat the lunch. I use an energy bar that is more natural than what we're getting for lunch, and it isn't all those carbs, and I can do my work. I go home and have a big salad after I get out of school. Look how many years ago that was.
Yeah.
The gradual progression of it, like Jeannie said, it's just been a very gradual thing. So anyway, I'll get off my bandwagon. Sorry, guys. I couldn't keep my mouth shut this morning.
My. Well, make some healthy choices today. Show everybody else how to do it. And come back for Betty. Have a good day, everybody. Thanks for your participation and support. Boy.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you, Nancy.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for everything.
To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.